Welcome back to Loudmouse, where three dudes do their absolute best to blow out your eardrums. I'm your host, Quite, aka Quite, also here with Brandon and Wild Spartans.
Hello.
And Diesel.
Hi.
And also with us today is a special guest, Nerd City. How are you, man?
Hey, thanks for having me. And you just started this series with a welcome back. Is that like tradition on YouTube?
No, this is the second episode.
Oh, okay. I thought this was the first one.
No, you're the first guest.
Who popped your cherry? Who was the first? Oh, you guys did one by yourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Tomorrow.
Thank you for having me on as the first guest. I have a feeling this podcast is going to go very smoothly.
Oh, my God.
So the first topic for today is the massive sub drop that made PewDiePie lose 50,000 subscribers in a day. Diesel, you talk first.
Oh, my God. That's more than my whole channel. I'm the most unqualified person to talk about YouTube or the sub drop. I don't know why you turned around and gave that to me.
Lol, loser.
I mean, why not?
Because I'm unqualified.
Well, you have it now, so.
Okay. So, yeah. So there was like a random sub purge, and Brandon called me in a feverish state one night to tell me about this said sub purge. He was sweating profusely and had a large cork board with lines that all linked to something. Yes, the sub purge and PewDiePie lost 50K. Would you like to elaborate, Brandon?
Brilliant. So essentially, fine. So essentially, nobody knows why the hell it happened exactly. There's been some speculation that it has something to do with like the connections between channels being rated maturity and that kind of thing. And because it seems like the people who were rated higher, like a more mature, less kid friendly, they were more like they lost more subs than people who were say rated just teen or G. And there's no like it's not like an exact causation, but it's the closest thing we have to a theory.
Well, yeah, I also saw
if you guys remember a couple years ago, I guess Keemstar made this tweet that he was at a party or someone he knew was at a party where a YouTube employee was getting drunk. Do you remember this tweet?
Oh, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about.
Supposedly someone who worked at YouTube let loose that there was some script that they'd written or a program they were working on that was going to randomly start purging younger subscribers out of the edgy channels. So that was offered up as like an explanation for what we were seeing happen to Leafy. You know, like the alternative to, this is all caused by the content cop. It was like, maybe this is YouTube cleaning out, you know, like 6-year-olds from his sub base. But that wouldn't explain.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, we also have people who are adults who have said that they've been unsubbed from some of their favorite channels. Like you remember PewDiePie tweeted at H3 like a year ago saying like, I just got unsubbed from you and I would have never done that. So it doesn't the young people getting purged out of edgy channels, it would seem to make sense for why we're seeing all of these edgy channels in the red and not, you know, safer ones. But that wouldn't explain, you know, all this anecdotal evidence of like why, you know, I've been unsubbed from channels that I would have never unsubbed from. I've seen that happen a couple times. So, you know, it doesn't.
Yeah. I also looked into it more and I saw somebody tweet Top Trends tweeted saying he contacted YouTube saying they were moving spam subs, but like I don't think that's true because from what I've seen, the way YouTube removes spam subs is like insta drops in your subscription count, not just like gradual.
Yeah, it would also happen in one day, not over the course of a week.
Yeah, also it was really strange to see like Jacksepticeye and Markiplier and like the big YouTube faces lose a bunch of subs. That was really weird to me, even though they're rated teen. So
are they rated teen or are they rated M? Because like I was looking at CeeLo's Excel chart.
Is he? I think they might be rated teen to M.
Yeah, because like some of the games they play probably fall under that category.
Yeah, because on Saturday the date really happened. He lost 17,000, which was like a pretty big amount for a channel like that who was getting like thousands a day. So that was interesting. Also, Ninja lost subs too. That was the weird part. Like he didn't go negative, but like comparatively to his views, he gained a lot less off of the same amount of views than he did like 3 days before. So that was also interesting. And Ninja's like really family friendly, so
yeah. No, like Ali A is a teen mature just because like he talks about guns and stuff like in Fortnite, even if it's not like direct mention of like specific arms.
Yeah, and it's like he's also super family friendly though. He didn't go negative, because it's Ali A and he's getting 200 million views a month. But
that's nothing. That's nothing, Brandon.
That's nothing. Not even relevant.
Who's Ali A?
The COD guy, remember?
Whatever. They all do Minecraft.
But there's not even
point.
There's just not even that much info on it. It's just weird. It didn't make sense to me either from the start because I'm like, I was just thinking, why not just, you know, stop recommending videos? Why purge the subscribers? It makes less sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, like in like you said earlier, like you said, it doesn't make sense for it to be a spam purge because like it's usually like instantaneous. Like this was this was most definitely like over the course of like a couple hours at the very least, because people could like gain subs to like replenish the ones that they lost.
It was like over a day, like over a couple days when it happened. And then I checked the analytics for it and it said it was like actual unsubs mainly. It wasn't just closed accounts, which made even less sense. So, and they could have just tinkered with that, to be fair. But
yeah, true.
Yeah, that's all we have to say about that, because there's nothing else really to say about it because there's not enough info.
It's all speculation.
Now we're gonna talk about, it's all speculation, literally. Now we're going to talk about something that isn't speculation, which is Halo Online being just taken down because of Microsoft. Diesel, you explain this one more because you're involved with this a lot.
Okay.
Video games!
Well, I'm not directly involved.
You're not directly involved, but you're involved.
Nah, Diesel's a war criminal. He's completely involved with this.
Yeah, well, okay, so there was like a Halo mod called El Dorito, or whatever.
Wait, is that actually supposed to be like a mix between
like
Mountain Dew
and Doritos?
Actually,
yes.
That's supposed to be. Oh my god, I feel we're talking.
But the problem is that this mod is essentially taking a foreign version of Halo, modding it and updating it, and distributing it for free online. Basically, it's like taking Halo 3's multiplayer and then giving it to people for free. Obviously, there are like intellectual property issues with that. This happens all the time. This isn't the first time it's happened. This essentially happens every time someone tries to make a Nintendo fan game, where the company will step in and say, hey, don't do that. Luckily enough, Bungie and like 343, they were polite enough to say, wow, good job, you guys did really great, sorry our company won't let you do this. It's not
the studios, it's like,
yeah, it's
Microsoft,
not the studios
itself,
it's Microsoft, right? But I guess the good thing is that one, it's not going to be updated, but like you can still play it, which is
great. You can,
yeah, they can't like remove it.
Oh, okay. I thought they pulled it off completely. I thought they needed to pull it off.
No, that's just the clickbait titles talking.
Okay.
seems a little messy, though, because if Microsoft opened the door to modding Halo with some official releases, which sounds like what they did, then, you know, it sounds like what they want is the fan-made projects to not use anything just from that leaked material from Halo Online, but they can still mod it. Right, like they're not shutting down all fan-made stuff. They just didn't want anything from the Russian Halo Online.
Nothing that wasn't like officially released. Like, there's another fan creation thing they mentioned in the community post called Installation 01. I had no idea about that until this post, but like, it looks like it was built from the ground up, like inspired by Halo, but not using any of the assets from the game. So I don't know how clear it has to be. Like, if they can only use assets that are officially released, if there even are any, or if they need to make them all themselves. Like,
that sounds like a really difficult job for whoever's in enforcement for Microsoft. Like, they're going to watch a stream, and then how are they going to tell that someone hasn't recreated a map they liked from Halo Online using their own modding tools? And, you know, like, they're going to spot it and be like, oh, that's our asset that wasn't modified enough or made from scratch, you know, like, because couldn't you kind of just replicate the map if you liked the way it was laid out?
I guess you could. Like, you could replicate the layout, but, like, with different assets, I guess it becomes its own thing.
Isn't there Halo 5 Forge on PC?
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's in the Windows Store, so nobody's going to use that anyway.
Yeah, nobody uses the Windows Store. I used the Windows Store to play Sea of Thieves and then just haven't touched it since.
I went through all that trouble to download Sea of Thieves, and I didn't even play it. RIP.
I played it, like, for 2 hours.
How did everybody get on board with playing some game that supposedly is as boring as it is? Like, why was there so much hype around that?
Because, I mean, the game looked really promising from, like, all the E3 trailers and stuff. It has a very, very good base of a game. The problem is, though, is just not enough content. The whole game is about, you know, going to a place, getting a chest, bringing the chest back to a dealer where you can sell the chest and then repeat. That's basically the whole game, which is the problem.
And I got excited because I saw a couple people in some of the group chats that I'm in just going off about how much fun it was and like trying to like get each other to like play it. So like I was like wanted to give it a shot.
So, I got it for free, so I ain't complaining.
Yeah, like there was like a month free thing, and if we liked it, we
there was like a 2 week free Xbox Game Pass thing you could get, and then you could just play any Xbox Game Pass game and just cancel subscription right then.
Yeah, no big losses. But on the topic of the Halo thing, like I remember seeing something similar like with that, like with Bethesda, like they were what was it? There are people that are trying to like literally recreate like Morrowind or Oblivion within the engine of Skyrim and stuff, right? But like they're not reusing like the world assets, none of the stuff that creates like buildings or trees or forests or landscapes, but they have to reuse all the voice lines. So the only way they could get around that was like if they like you need to legally own a copy of the game that you're trying to like rebuild in Skyrim to be able to use the mod, like, so
okay.
Like, and I think Halo did something similar. Like,
is that why Gmod needed Counter-Strike Source for its textures?
I don't know.
I don't think that's what Gmod was using that for.
Yeah,
I think it was just for like, because what Gmod is for like mod creation. So they just needed a toolkit for that.
Yeah, and then to get the textures, you had to buy Source as well as Gmod. So.
Looking at the Halo community post, it sounds like they did a similar thing to Bethesda as well, where like there was a fan creation. I can't remember specifically which one it was, but you needed an official copy of a Halo game to be able to use that mod, even though it was like separate from it. I'm not exactly sure.
And Halo Online was never released, period. It was leaked, right? So there's no way to legitimately have any of that.
Yeah, none of the materials from that game were legally released to be used in game. Where to create projects from.
Yeah. I mean, I just wish Microsoft would put out a good Halo game on PC, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, playing that game on Xbox when I was younger, I even knew. I'm like, this game was meant for a PC. This was not meant for a controller. It doesn't feel like it was meant for a controller, you know? So I just wish there was one on PC. I'd play it.
This shows that there's an audience. Like, I don't know.
There's Halo 5 Forge. That's it.
I remember, like, when I was a couple years ago in high school, like, there was, I'm still in high school, fuck. But there was, like, this one class where everybody had fucking computers and shit. And, like, some kid brought in Halo Combat Evolved on a flash drive. And since all the computers at schools are connected on LANs, right? We were all just playing fucking, like, LAN Halo games instead of doing our work. And it was really fun.
I wish I had a class like that.
Oh, no. They, because of us, they fucking, like, banned it off the fucking, like, school servers and shit. But, like, someone put the game on the school's share drive. I have no idea how they got it on there. So literally anybody could play it across the school.
I mean, from my experience, like, schools have horrible security for their servers because all the people are just like, they're just kids. They don't know what they're doing.
Eh.
So, yeah. I mean, like, the closest thing I had to that in high school was Cool Math for Kids and shit like that.
Cool
because
Math
the only
games,
websites
yeah,
they allowed.
I went to Catholic school. We just had books for Jesus.
I tried to stream Cool Math Games once and it almost crashed my computer.
Really?
I think it just wasn't optimized well, like, for streaming or my internet was
just. Your current computer crashed. Like, it crashed.
No, cool not my math. Computer. The stream almost crashed because it kept lagging and stuff when I was trying to record the website.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea why.
Yeah, I mean, also with the Halo Online thing, I really don't like how Microsoft is handling the takedowns for content. Like, I think it's just too extreme. It's really like Nintendo, where, like, they're just going around, oh, that's Halo Online, pfft, done, you know? Like, chance at all.
Didn't they repeal the ban that Jericho got? Like, I heard, like, that fucking, like, one of the guys from 343 responded and tried to get it sorted out.
Let me check.
Like, if you there's an update in the community post saying that, like, they're talking about people, like, who got, they're talking about people who used Halo Online content and made like videos or streams based off of it, and how they were getting striked for it. And they said they didn't want to see anybody get striked for it, but like since it's like half automated, half not, they recommended people just not make any content based around it.
His stream got taken down, and then it was pretty quick to reinstate his Twitch because it was his first takedown, so it was only 24-hour grace period, so he was fine. But it's like. It's very Nintendo. It's very, very Nintendo. Where it's just like, hey, that's my gameplay. Smack! And just fucking get rid of it.
That's a clap.
They need an official version. That's all they need to do. Are we done
bitching about something none of us played?
You know what? I'm going to play it after this podcast. All right, Nerd City.
No,
I'm going to play it after
it's
this
illegal.
Podcast.
You wouldn't play that.
Let's
illegal,
talk man. About someone not repairing a MacBook.
Oh, okay, fine.
Let's all bitch about Vanilla WoW being shut down on servers. Do you play it? No. Well, I find it to be outrageous.
Wait, what?
it's a similar story.
Oh, Vanilla
so, like,
WoW.
Blizzard,
for some reason, like, Vanilla Ice popped into my head, and I had no idea what you're talking about. But
I'm just saying, I would have played Halo Online if I knew about it sooner, but I found out about it right after it got taken down. Like, I found out about it right after all the Twitch DMCAs and stuff, and I'm like, well, I just might as well not even touch it.
Okay. Extra thick Vanilla Ice, would you like to explain what happened to a MacBook once?
Extra thick Vanilla Ice.
I don't.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, he's talking to you, you fucking idiot.
Well, I was confused.
Who in here is extra thick for but you, and who has Vanilla Ice's hair?
Well, that's true. All right, leave me alone. So the whole MacBook thing. So Linus Tech Tips is a tech channel on YouTube, right? And he bought a MacBook, and then they broke the MacBook, and they tried to get it repaired from Apple, and Apple refused for a couple reasons. I mean, the big reason is because they broke it, and then also there was this whole fiasco with Apple-certified people not being certified to actually repair it, and if they did repair it, they'd lose their certification, bullshit like that. And then apparently, Apple can't even supply the parts to the people who are certified to repair the games. Not the game, the computer. I'm so used to talking about Halo Online.
Oh my god.
Halo Online, the podcast.
But it kind of just highlights what Apple is, and it's just like, Apple's so... I just don't like the way Apple handles repairs and things like that. It's just so greedy.
I think it highlights how Apple fanboys are ridiculous and entitled. I mean, think about it. So, like, the guy in that video seemed so outraged by the idea that he couldn't break a product and then have the company repair it for him. You know, like, I'm a PC person, so I just operate under the assumption that if I break my shit and it's not covered under warranty, then I'm out. You know, one piece of electronic gear, I buy another one. You know, like,
yeah, but with a PC, you could go to like any repair shop and get it repaired. There wouldn't be a problem with that. But the problem is the people who were certified to repair that MacBook couldn't even repair it.
Well,
because Apple wasn't allowing them to.
Yeah, that does sound kind of shitty. But how would they, like, who would tell on them? You know, just like you enter into a relationship with that repair shop and you fix it. And why are they registering their repairs with
who
Apple?
Who would tell them?
Yeah, just fix the thing if you know how to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, but they needed to order parts to fix it because they broke the entire display or something, and then a couple other components.
Okay, so they wouldn't send out the parts that they needed.
Yeah, they wouldn't send it out, and then it's like even if they could get the parts somehow, they would have lost the certification. So it's like it's really just Apple mainly refusing to repair it. And I think both sides are wrong in the equation because they did void the warranty with what they did because they broke it themselves. They were not entitled to repair it themselves. But I think Apple should give an option to be able to get something repaired type thing because it's like. I don't know. I think that's ridiculous because, with a PC, you can go to, like, a PC shop and just be like, hey, it's not working, and they could just, you know, do some stuff and fix it. A lot of the time, there's, like, a lot of, you know, corner stores that are just ran by one person or two people, and, like, they give great service.
So you got to go you got to go outside the Apple system to get it repaired. Is that possible? I mean, are there people who aren't Apple certified?
No, because they can't get the parts.
If it's third party, they need to be Apple certified. And the issue was there were no parts to give out because, Apple didn't have the structure in place to, like, repair it in the first place.
No, I just don't know enough about that ecosystem. Aren't there can't you just order? Because usually if something's being made in China, the exact same manufacturers that are supplying the official parts are also selling off-brand, you know, parts of the exact same thing. They just call it something else and throw it up on eBay. So
I don't know about how much you can get, like, third-party parts because Apple's really picky with that kind of stuff. I mean, even, like...
Like the phone chargers, you can get a fucking... You can get a $1 version of... Or a 10-cent version of a...
See,
phone charger.
You can't do that anymore, though.
Really?
Do it anymore, though. Because Apple has started blocking things that don't have a, like, I don't know, some kind of thing in them that just tells it's Apple certified. I've tried phone chargers that weren't Apple certified, and they wouldn't work.
really.
It wouldn't work on my iPhone.
That's a nightmare. There's DRM on the chargers.
Yes.
That's really annoying.
It is really annoying. And I really want to switch, but at the same time, it's like I'm in the ecosystem. Like, there's a whole, once you jump in to some extent, you don't really want to get out, because it's like I have an Apple Watch and I use it constantly. And it's like, oh, if I get a new phone, I got to get a new watch too. It's just like, oh, I don't want to get a new watch. So it's annoying. I use wireless headphones as well, so I don't really have a problem with the headphone jack. But yeah, no, the whole repair thing, it's like Apple is really bad with repairs, especially when it's like the whole battery fiasco they had a while ago, where batteries would like limit themselves and not work properly because actually, the CPU, they bottlenecked the CPU because the battery was dying and they didn't tell people, and they were charging you to get a new battery even though we're bottlenecking your CPU. I think they made it an option now to bottleneck your CPU or not, so that's good.
Yeah, they have.
But hey, because I got into a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Lawsuit's a pretty good motivator.
Well, if it's not, then what is?
People stop buying Apple, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, like, let's be realistic here. Like, come on.
I don't know. I like the iOS UI. It's one of the only reasons why I haven't switched. It's just clean and simple.
I'm too lazy to learn a new one. Like, I won't even lie.
See, I know Android, but it's like, I just like the UI. Like, that's pretty much it. I just like how clean it is and smooth it is. So, that's the only thing that keeps me in. If it was clunky, I would have left a while ago.
I think Android is significantly better in every way.
You have a, don't you? Oh, no, you have an L.
Oh, were you about to say I have a Note 7?
No, but it's, no, I know you had a Note 7, but then you had to get an LG, and then the LG's broken.
Yes.
I was going to say you had a Note, I was going to say you had a Google Pixel, which is kind of trying to imitate Apple at the moment with their whole, they're trying to make their own ecosystem, basically. Just a lot less restrictive because they both run an Android, like all Androids.
Honestly, so, I want my Note 7 back. Aside from the whole bomb thing, it was a pretty great phone.
I mean, aside chances, from the fact that it explodes, it's a pretty great device.
Your chances of it blowing up were pretty slim. I mean,
I would sleep next to it with my head next to it every night. So
just hoping, praying.
Just hoping it would blow up. And that's not a joke. I actually did.
Now the Note 8's
Diesel, do you need a hug?
Way better.
No, I'm perfectly healthy.
Yeah, you're too manly
you're
for
not,
a hug.
You're sick.
Too manly for a hug.
Are you
oh,
still
yeah, you're sick.
Sick.
You ain't getting
yeah,
money.
I am still
money.
Sick.
How bad? One out of 10.
My nose is stuffy and I got a really bad cough.
Oh.
Well, so it's making 10. You sound like you're doing a Jax Films impression.
God. My forehead okay, really is the Jax Films impression.
I don't know. I've never tried one.
True. That's true.
Let's see if I can do a Jax Films impression.
I don't.
No. I need to test that one out off off mic.
No, I do the same exact thing. People will be making like impressions like a call or something, and then you'll want to do one, but you're like, no.
I can hear
it.
Yeah, I can hear
myself.
It in my head. I can hear it in my head, but it's not gonna come out too high or something. But that like, oh, it's kind of like vaguely like a New York mob boss, you know? Like, he's got the same thing as you, Brandon. Like, he's picked up a New York accent, even though he's from, I don't know. Where is Jack's Films from anyway?
I know he lives in California at the moment.
Yeah, but where is he
but
from?
I don't know where he grew up.
Probably from Brazil.
Colombia, just Colombia, Maryland.
That's okay. Pretty close. That's pretty close to Brazil.
All right, we've just doxed Jack Films. So now let's talk about all right, YouTube's indirect response to removing content on the platform. No, 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 that wasn't next. Next, you
just jumped way far.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, you want next we're talking about. Oh, I guess I had more, you know.
Count
what?
Dank.
I had more bitching about that Linus Tech Tips repair scandal video.
Yeah.
Because the real scandal for me was the cringy bits they shot in that video of them like reading the emails and talking about the repairs, like reenacting how they couldn't believe it. That was such a weird format, you know? Like, I thought they were perfectly fine when they were talking to the camera, but then when they set up the camera on a tripod and went like shot, reverse shot for their fake conversations about like, so here's what they just emailed me. They're like, what? Could you just like write them back or something? This is crazy. I mean, just like work on it. Or I mean, like, that was so fucking weird. Like, why would they do the video in that format?
Yeah, they've changed their format. Like, a couple years ago, they, like, moved into a whole big warehouse. And they got a lot more of employees. And, like, they changed their format from, like, just talking about tech to, like, doing that kind of stuff. And I don't like it. I think it's really cringeworthy. But it's, yeah. like, they look in the analytics. They must have seen some kind of improvement in audience retention. They wouldn't keep doing it because it's a waste of resources if not. So... I guess it
that
works.
Was my first video I've seen on their channel, so I went into most it with an open like mind, that. And I was confused by that format. It's pretty strange.
Yeah, most of them are like that. I don't know. They're the only ones I know that actually do that. They're also the only tech channel that really uploads daily. Every other one kind of just goes like every 4 days or so, because they're usually solo, but they have a huge team. So okay, next up, this time, we're not going to skip three things. We're going to be talking about Count Dankula.
Count Dankula appealing 800-pound fine.
Yeah, so this was interesting because if I was in his shoes, I would have just paid it. But because I wouldn't want any more legal trouble. Basically, to recap, Count Dankula, he made a pug the Nazi salute, and the government in Scotland, I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was Scotland, didn't like him doing that. So then the guy took him to court and was like, hey, context doesn't matter, and then gave him an 800-pound fine. And now he's raised £158,000 to fight to appeal the fine in court, which I think is great because... clearly, there's a huge problem with a country if context doesn't matter when you say something. So, I think that's good. Anybody else have input?
I agree.
Yeah, it's so making him... Dankula's going into full-on, like, free speech hero right now.
Yeah.
And the... you know, he's kind of a... people might not know exactly what they're... I don't know. What's the best way to say this? So, like, his idea of what's funny and what's free speech... can totally swing out of the mainstream, you know, like his Dankula's favorite community seems to be Encyclopedia Dramatica. You know, like he raised a bunch of money for them to keep the site running, and he always talks about them on his channel. And Encyclopedia Dramatica, if you're not familiar, it's like, you know, it's like Wikipedia with doxing, and it's all mockery, you know. So it's there's certainly some free speech going on there too, but then there's a lot of like illegal stuff as well. And you know, he's big into that. He loves it. That's his favorite site. So
yeah, I'm not a fan of doxing. What he's doing with free speech is good though.
Yeah, the prosecution over the pug video was clearly ridiculous, and the conviction's ridiculous. But that's not that far out of the mainstream. You know, like I think I saw it on the front page of Reddit. So if something was on the front page of Reddit, then you know the majority of the people, at least who saw it on Reddit, and Reddit's a pretty mainstream audience, at least got the joke. Yeah. You know, they got it enough to upvote it instead of downvote it. So at least they knew it was amusing on some level, or they understood it was a joke. But, you know, yeah. Even if you don't think that's funny, that particular video, we have to, you know, we have to protect a person's right to tell like an unfunny joke. So that's something that everybody can get behind. And that's why when he raised money to appeal this, and he's crushing it, like he wanted to raise £100,000 and he's raised £150,000 when I looked at it.
£158,000 now. Yeah, it's like. It's good too because it's like they're having a lot of problems with free speech at the moment. There's also a girl who posted rap lyrics on her Instagram to it was like a message to her friend who died. It was like I'm gonna pronounce that word.
It was supposed to be like a tribute to him, and it was like yeah, it was rap lyrics that contained the N-word.
That was what I was looking for.
And she got arrested for it.
Yeah, she got arrested, and I don't know if she's been sentenced yet, but she got arrested for putting that on her Instagram because it was egregious, I think it was, or that was like the exact wording, something like that, or grossly offensive. So it was in the same kind of area of the country, so that's ridiculous. And it's like, I'm glad he's doing this because something needs to be done about it, because no one should go to jail or get fined for making an unfunny joke in someone's eyes. Because
and the way the legal system works is it functions off of precedent. So if this gets, you
yeah,
know,
exactly.
Of course, this is a fine he can afford and people will pay it for him. But if this sets the precedent going forward, then in other cases, they'll look back and be like, you know, is this like this?
Yeah.
And what happened in that event? Well, guilty. So,
yeah, exactly. You know. It's the same reason like the H3 case over fair use was so important, because that was like one of the big first time cases of fair use on YouTube. And if he lost that would have been really bad.
It would have opened the floodgates really to more of this. Yeah. So that might be what we see if this Dankula thing doesn't in some way discourage future prosecutions like this.
Yeah. I hope it gets the fine appeal because it is ridiculous. Okay, Diesel, you want to talk about your article about teens not being able to read the analog clock?
Okay, so essentially this is this is a wonderful article, right? So in the UK, they're thinking of removing analog clocks, you know, clocks with hands, just in case if you're one of the people that can't read those. Teens can't read those. So they're thinking that they should just remove these from like lecture halls and exam halls, because teens are just spending too much time. They're too much time reading these clocks. Boom. Get it? Funny joke, right? Someone laugh. Please clap.
Everyone pity laugh.
You're a fucking idiot.
But yeah, which I just find it absolutely amazing that there are people that are incapable of reading traditional clocks. I didn't know it was like a thing. But apparently it is.
I was reading the article, and it seems like it was less about them being able to tell it, but like that they couldn't do it as efficiently with digital clocks, and they thought it created unnecessary stress in an exam testing environment, like because they wanted as little distractions for students as possible, like raising your hand to like ask how many minutes are left, and it's harder to make mistakes when reading a digital clock than it is for an analog clock. So I thought it made some sense in that context, but
it's like it's such an easy thing to read though. It's like it's really not that hard. Like I don't know any kid that would like be like, oh man, I can't read the analog clock, and like shaking with anxiety, raising their hand. How much time is left? you know?
I mean, it's less about like how like prevalent it is, and more about just minimizing anything that's easy to minimize. Because like it's not like hard to just put a digital clock on a TV.
I refuse to justify this.
No, I'm not. I mean, it depends on how. It depends if they're actually teaching it in school though. Because I remember I learned how to read the analog clock in school. Like
yeah,
I think it was first or second grade.
Yeah,
or maybe even
early
kindergarten. Yeah, it was really early on I learned how to read the analog clock. So if they're not teaching it, I guess it makes sense for them not being able to read it. So
I think we're going to be seeing a lot more stuff like this. Like I've heard that they're already scaling back cursive handwriting, and like kids don't know how to read cursive anymore because they're not getting taught.
I barely know how to read cursive.
I can barely read cursive.
I got taught cursive, but like it's never used. I never got practice in reading it because when I was learning it in like elementary school, I was just like, what is the point of this? We're not even using this.
Like, I think the only time I've ever used cursive was for my signature.
It's just my signature. Yeah. Teaching me how to write my signature is the only thing I've ever needed from cursive.
Yeah, and my signature has become less cursive and more scribbles as time goes on.
Exactly.
I think 10 years from now, though, we're going to be explaining what books are to kids. You know, they'll still be around, obviously, because there's so many of them. But to explain like how important they were and what they meant to people and how with the authority that they had, people aren't going to fucking believe it, because like if you think about it, books are essentially like websites that have been printed out and that are already a couple years old usually by the time you look at the information on them, you know, and by then they've already been like there's been another edition. And if you just think about that, like compared to a website where you instantly change the information in it, you know, like there are news articles that come out and they just edit it as more information comes in, and they don't always even tell you they're doing it. Sometimes they'll note that they are, but they don't always, you know.
Yeah,
and in a book, it's like
before.
You had to print out the whole thing all over again, do a whole new edition, you know. And it's like you couldn't edit a book without coming out with an entire it would take a year. That's gonna sound so ridiculous to a kid,
internet.
You know.
Yeah,
and also like
it makes a lot more sense to use the internet for that
and,
kind of stuff.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people slam Wikipedia for being like unreliable because anyone can edit it, or you know, they can find examples where something's wrong on Wikipedia. But if you look at books, like my grandfather sent me a box of old books like that he didn't want anymore, and these were on the shelf in his house when I was growing up. I'm just used to having them around, like books were something you respected. And I'm paging through them, and it's like the information is just wrong about some of this stuff. You know, like one of them was something about like how to it was like an Air Force guide on working out. It was like how to get in shape like a, you know, Royal Air Force or whatever. And the workouts are like so proven to be dangerous to your body now, you know, like the wrong way to do push-ups, the wrong way to do sit-ups, the dangerous way to do everything. It's like this was an authority back then, and it's like this is a dangerous piece of information to have around now, you know, like books are kind of dangerously outdated.
Yeah,
anyway, yeah, so like no clocks, no cursive, no books.
See, I just think it's like If it was like, if they specify in the article if they just weren't teaching it anymore, it'd make more sense. But I think, like, if these kids are being taught how to read an analog clock and they forget how to read it, even though it's super easy to remember, it's like riding a bike, that's kind of ridiculous. But no, it makes perfect sense for them to, like, go away from being analog and paper and more digital, because everything's becoming more digital. Tech is advancing at a very rapid rate.
It's so just becoming more it's becoming more efficient to use, like, technology and pretty much, like, all around.
It's always been more efficient ever. Like, well, I wouldn't say always, because back before I was born, internet was very slow. But like, nowadays it's way more efficient. It's
digital
way
clocks
more efficient,
are reliant on power to work too, whereas an analog clock, you know, like, say the power goes out, they're windable. You know, are there even windable digital clocks? Like, I guess there might be digital? But that's not how they've classically been built.
Yeah, there are some that, like, that don't actually, that just use the numbers like a scoreboard. A physical scoreboard. So there's some that exist like that. I don't know if those are. I think those still actually take electricity though. So that doesn't really help. But yeah. I mean, power is also a big concern as well, because it's like, eventually fossil fuels will run out, and then we'll just be stuck with using solar, water, and we need more.
These kids these days, they don't know how to read a sundial anymore.
Does anybody here actually know how to read a sundial? Out of curiosity.
Yeah, of course. It's the same as a clock. Yeah. You just watch the shadow.
Okay, so you two know how to use it. I've never been taught. So
it just works like a regular clock.
The shadow is the, you know, like your hand on the clock.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Like the shadow's like the hand.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna agree. Okay. We're gonna move on.
Makes sense to me.
Okay, quiet, take it away.
Kanye West for president. Okay, so in case you guys have been like AFK for however long, Kanye West has been going off the fucking rails. You go to his Twitter, and some of the tweets that we bookmarked, it's only gotten
worse
from
there. They're outdated now.
Like, they're outdated. Like, I wouldn't even say worse, but like, Kanye West has been fucking like tweeting out conversations, like texts that he's had with John Legend and shit. Like, tweeting out, like, facts about, like, the Republican and Democratic parties and their origins and what they mean today and shit. Like, he's going all over the place, dude. Like, he never used Twitter as much. And
It's hard to tell if he's just, like, if he's trolling to promote his album or if he's being genuine.
I feel like it's both.
I mean, yeah, it's both. That's why
I
hate
Twitter
again, obviously.
I want to see him run for president, because that's going to be the funniest thing ever.
Fucking, like,
just like Trump.
All, like, I've been memeing the thank you, Kanye, very cool thing, like, literally all week.
I mean, yeah, I've seen memes for that all the time. People just photoshopping Kanye's tweet. Like, someone made, like, a little drawing of Kanye and Trump, and it was amazing. It was amazing. All the memes of that are great.
The dragon energy part of Kanye West's tweet, like, that kind of sent me in a spiral for a little bit. Like, I fucking died.
Yeah, it jumps out Kanye, like tiger's blood, you know, like when Charlie Sheen went nuts and said he had tiger's blood. Everyone's like googling, like, what is that? What's dragon energy?
Yeah. Wait, I'm gonna look up Google Trends. One second. Let's look up
dragon energy.
There's probably an energy drink, you know, some failing energy drink that was like, yes, yes.
Okay, so the interest over time went from 8 to 100. It's the highest it's ever been.
I swear to God, Kanye has the ability to just like make brands by wearing something from them in the middle of the street and accidentally getting a photo taken of him doing it. Like, you know, have you guys heard of Antisocial Social Club? They're a streetwear company.
No.
Well, it's like a pretty popular brand now, but fucking part of the reason for his blow up was because somebody like took a picture of Kanye wearing it in the middle of the street randomly, and fucking then everybody started wearing it, and now they're fucking like big as shit.
So is that why the Yeezys, the plastic Yeezy heels sell?
I mean, they sell because of their association with Kanye, and also because of the connotation of fucking like prestige that comes with them.
Ah, yes, yeah. The prestige of PVC pipe pumps.
Yeezy.
You just don't understand these. I don't know what to tell you.
Sorry,
what was the other one that was
man.
Ridiculous? Wasn't it like?
Oh,
it was like a pant leg?
It was the pant boot.
Yeah,
track pant boots. It's so stupid.
There was also like the Crocs, but not Crocs.
The water shoes.
Yeah, the water shoes.
Yeah, easy the chocolates.
I think Kanye is just trying to be edgy here and like going against them. Like, he even knows he's being a contrarian. He's saying like, I'm going against the mob, or like the mob can't make me not like him. And it's funny that liking the president of the United States could be considered edgy. You know, like that just shows, it just shows how much the Republican Party has alienated African Americans. If a notoriously crazy rapper who has like claimed that if the Bible was written now, that he would be in it, who's like literally called himself God, just says he likes the president, people can't wrap their heads around what the fuck he's thinking. It's like, you already knew he was crazy, and now he just says he likes Trump, and people are like, oh, he's really lost it now. You know, it's like, that's the, it's the president.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost the entire country. Almost half of the entire country wanted that guy in office. And one rapper who's known as the craziest rapper says he supports the guy, and people are like, wow, he's a lunatic.
He's really going for it this time. It wasn't like on a fucking fundraising thing for a Hurricane Katrina where he said George Bush doesn't care about black people. Like, fucking,
oh my god, that was hilarious. Oh like, my fucking, god, I love like, that fucking, clip.
Have you seen the memes of like people being like showing pictures of George Bush? And he's like, Kanye West doesn't care about black people.
God,
those fucking memes are killing me. Like, I don't agree with all of them, but fucking hell, they're hilarious.
I just think the possibilities of Kanye West running would be great for the meme economy.
See, but he also said in 2020 though, like before Trump's. So it's like or after or was it before or after?
It was before. Yeah. It was like during the primaries. He said 2020.
Yeah, because now he's changing the date. So if he changes the date again on his next album, we know he's trolling. So that's how I'll tell. But yeah, I'm with Diesel. I don't think I necessarily want him to win, but I think him just running would make for great memes, kind of like how Trump did. Like,
yeah, but that's why he won. That's exactly what would happen.
Like, this is risky business. Just because,
if we can get both sides to be memed equally, there's an equal chance, and the meme economy will boom.
The meme economy will boom. We'll be pulled out of this recession.
Yeah. Do you guys follow r/meme economy?
No.
That's an actual subreddit.
That's an actual subreddit, and it's like constantly people being like, should we invest? And it's like a meme template. Like half of the memes I see on Twitter that blow up actually start on that subreddit.
Yeah.
Like the whole what was the I don't know the name of the guy in the sketch, but like the gun one where it was like he shot the guy and then he looked back and it was like he blamed something retarded. Yeah, that sketch started on that meme started on the meme economy. Gotcha. That's where the template started. So
that's the new butthole of the internet where everything comes from.
Yeah, Reddit. Reddit and 4chan.
Thank you, Kanye. Very cool.
Okay, so
MAGA.
God damn it. Okay, so the next topic is the CNN hit piece on YouTube, and Nerd City, you want to talk about this one? Because I feel like you're the most qualified of everyone here.
All right, sure. So yeah, another hit piece from the legacy media on YouTube. There's a video I stumbled across the other day. I found it because somebody tagged me and said, like, hey, Nerd City, you might like this. And it's from a channel called The Burger Craig. The title of the video is YouTube's Conundrum. He makes a really good point in that video that all of this hysteria about what ads are getting shown on what videos is sort of missing the basic point that if more people understood how ads are working now, then this wouldn't seem so ridiculous. Like, targeted advertising is the reason why you are getting the ad you're getting as a pre-roll or a mid-roll on a video, usually, you know? The advertisers are targeting people, not the channels. So this guy Burger Craig says in his video, and I've adopted this as I think I agree with him, is that people should be allowed to watch whatever legal content they want, and then advertisers should be able to target the people that they think will buy their product. And like, really, that's that. You know, if there's objectionable content on YouTube, then kill the content, you know, and get better at removing stuff like ISIS videos. And YouTube's last quarterly report, they keep releasing data of like, we're killing these videos, we're finding them faster and faster, you know, so that's good. So that YouTube's already on the case. But all this outrage over a Coke ad played on top of a video where someone said the N-word and there was like a monkey dancing or something, you know, like I don't think that's something you should go bother Coke about, you know, report the video and like cancel the AdSense account so that the person who made that doesn't make any money off it or whatever. But don't bother Coke about this, because the people who watched that video on purpose got served an ad for a soda, and it's not Coke's fault that people who like soda, you know, have offensive opinions. It's not like it was an integrated ad for Coke inside an extremist video where like someone at Coke would have sought out the channel and said like, hey, we'd like to run an ad inside your videos where you talk about Coke. You know, like this was just Coke targets a wide demo of soda drinkers, which is, you know, like a huge swath of the population in the United States. So don't bother an advertiser about what people who drink soda also like to watch. Like, it has nothing to do with them.
Yeah, actually, I never thought about it like that, because like I have YouTube Red, so I don't necessarily get targeted ads, because it's like I don't see ads on my YouTube, but I do check incognito, and I always get like the same type of ads. I never thought of it as like you watching something getting targeted ad. What if the CNN people who wrote the article just went to like a website and was like, just browsed it for like 5 minutes and went back to the video and refreshed, and there was like a new ad that targeted towards the website they were using?
That's basically how things work. Whatever the watch history is of the person who at Wall Street Journal or CNN who's taking these screen captures, that's affecting what ads are getting shown to them, you know?
Yeah, I never actually thought about it that way. Because, like, wow, okay. That makes a lot of sense. I never thought about it that way. Why didn't I think about it that way? Yeah, okay.
I have something to add.
Okay, go.
Quite short.
Okay.
You know what's shorter?
What?
Your sub count. Fuck you.
Oh. Is it oof? Okay. So now we're going to talk about, this is something you might know about Nerd City, the YouTube network thing where people are getting removed from their networks, like Freedom Maker Studios and then a couple others. What do you know about this, Nerd City? Because I don't know much. I just think that these networks are lying to the people they're kicking out.
So I'm alarmed by this. I have mixed feelings about it, but it's concerning to me because, all right, on one hand, MCNs are this predatory business. You know, they're a bullshit business model that preys on ignorant people. You know, if you start a YouTube channel and it's not going well, or if it's starting to go well, but you're still like really not hitting the numbers you're hoping for, and suddenly someone emails you and says, hey, I'm with this big company, and we also represent these huge people who you've heard of, and we think your channel's amazing, and we would like to help you, you know, get collabs and make more money and get more views and just like, you know, get cooking. That's kind of like, that's exactly what you want to hear, right? If you're in that vulnerable position of not knowing what, of having a big dream, but not really knowing how the system works. So they prey on people who are, you know, green in that sense. And they promise the world and they end up doing nothing for them other than taking a percentage of all of their AdSense money. And depending what their deal is, a big percentage of their merch, a percentage some, of whatever, yeah. You know?
Some go as low as like 60-40. It's usually 70-30 at the very least now, but it gets ridiculous.
Yeah, it's robbery in that way. But then on the other hand, you know, so they're a predatory business on the one hand. And then on the other hand, they're kind of the closest thing that YouTubers have to collective bargaining, you know, like having a union.
Yeah.
Because the MCNs are able to take this big group of people that they oversign and then say to YouTube, we want a higher CPM on their videos. And it does seem like YouTube is trying to chip away at the power of MCNs lately, you know, like by forcing them to drop the lower performing channels. And right now, apparently doing something to make them scared to keep edgy channels on their roster.
Yeah, so in that case, from what I've heard, I don't know if you told me this or somebody else did, but from what I've heard, I forgot who told me this. From what I've heard, the whole, remember when Social Blade kicked a bunch of people and like they made this whole statement like, hey, we have to kick a bunch of people. The reason that they need to kick people is because YouTube is now putting limiters in place to how many people they can remove from a network a month. So like they're basically, that's what I've heard. I think it was from the people who actually run my network or somebody who talked to them. But That's what I've heard. I don't know how accurate it is, but it would make a lot of sense because freedom is huge. They have to kick a bunch of people out because they don't want to get their shit fucked and they want to remove as many people as possible before there's a chance to. So they're basically hitting all the edgy channels and the lower view channels so there's no risk. So they don't have to, you know, kick a bunch of people later when that restriction's in place. And I think YouTube gave them a grace period of like 2 months or something.
I've seen two or three other screen caps of explanations coming from the MCN in the breakup letter to the channel. The one explanation
it was about YouTube has a change of policy and things like that. Social Blade also said the same thing. Mm-hmm. Actually, I just remember who said that, and it was from a trusted source. So it was like from a guy who manages in a network that's pretty high up in terms
of. No, I've seen the screen caps of the representatives. I don't think these are fake. You know, like these are channels that got it, screen capped it, and sent it, and they have no reason to make fake ones, you know. And one of them was to this one. Fuck, I should look up his name.
Were they messages from the MCN?
Yeah, from their handler at the MCN. I blacked out his name in this just because I don't, you know, I don't want to draw any. He was getting upset in the video that he showed this screen cap. He might be getting more upset than he needs to be. So I don't know. Maybe won't do a shout out to him. But the screen cap of the email said. We really went to bat for you, but YouTube is just pushing hard, and they are telling us that we can't save your channel. We gotta let you go. We're not gonna be able to keep you anymore as part of Full Screen.
And yeah, that's from Full Screen though.
So he assumed.
I feel like they're lying.
They could be. So he assumed that that meant that if he gets, you know, now he's dropped off of the AdSense account from Full Screen, and he's gonna have to reapply. And he assumed that YouTube was going to close his channel, that this was kind of like a canary in the coal mine, like a warning of, you know, they're cleaning up the MCNs first and then they're going to clean up everybody else once they're not being represented. And that's concerning if that's a possibility. The other thing I heard was that that YouTube put a policy in place for MCNs where they can only get 45. It's some crazy high number. It's like they can only get 45 serious violation incidents per month before they can't add any more people or before they have to do a freeze or something.
I think that's what I heard or something like that.
That seems
I can't remember the details
because
it was
high.
A couple months ago.
Like,
yeah.
Community strike is a big deal on a channel.
See, it's not that high, though, because Freedom had thousands of people in their network. And a lot of them were, like, smaller channels that don't know exactly what they're doing. So, like, if you add up those thousands upon thousands, it's, like, 45 of those, you know, 5,000 people get a strike, you're done, you know? So, that made sense to me. It was like that. It's hard to get the exact details for it because it's all rumor. There's nothing concrete.
Yeah, I know Polygon was working on an article. I was talking to the journalist that did that. I haven't read what she put out. I was also talking to Tim Pool when he was working on it. So, and people were trying to figure out what YouTube's up to with these MCNs. Like, what are they really?
I think they're just
this?
Trying to cut them out of the picture because they want more control over what's monetized and what's not.
If that's what they're doing, I feel mixed about it because MCNs are taking money from people that, you know, like it's hard enough to make a living on YouTube without someone with their hand in your pocket. And YouTube probably, you know, they know that. Just like YouTube knew that more and more sponsored content is going to need to become a necessity. So they bought that. They bought that marketplace, Famebit.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that website for when I was like 13. I had an account on it, and I was like, "What? They bought that?" that site desperately needs like, you know, more reliable sponsors and things like that because
I've heard it sucks, but it is a good idea. You know, if you can create
a
marketplace that replaces what an MCN was supposed to be doing for you or a manager, you know. You're cutting out the middleman. Anytime an innovation comes along that's a marketplace that cuts out a middleman, it usually ends up being a really good idea. You know, if you think about like, think about like marketplaces for car insurance. You know, you used to have to go to like a brick and mortar shop and talk to like you'd have to go like company to company and then build a relationship with them or price check, and then now you just use you know, you use a marketplace and you find the cheapest one that gets what you want and you buy it. And it's like, that's put those people out of business. So,
yeah.
Same with books, you know, and electronics. So if it makes it more efficient, I mean, I guess I also have a concern about, will the marketplace drive down the price or drive up the price of sponsorships? I wonder, you know, because right
now. I think the more. I don't actually, that's hard to tell. Because, like, I feel like at this point, what's wrong with sponsorships is on YouTube is that people aren't actually getting paid as much as I think they should be for sponsors based off of, like comparatively to TV, right? TV gets paid, like, way more per advertisement for a lot less of an outcome. Because the thing with YouTubers is YouTubers have, like, more of a personal connection with the audience. So they have way more leverage with getting people to actually go check out products and, you know, suggest buying them. So it makes more sense for YouTubers to get paid more based off per view. But it doesn't seem to be the case, and I don't know when it will be. I think right now is, like, when... you know, companies are finally acknowledging YouTubers as more of like an official media source.
Yeah. And this sounds super entitled or something. It's off-putting to hear a YouTuber say this, but I think that YouTubers are getting underpaid for sponsorships, vastly underpaid, because if you think about how much it costs. So the ad, like the buy for the reach is one thing, you know, you're paying for 2 million people to see this commercial, you're paying for 200,000 people to see this commercial, and you're paying however many $1,000s. And it seems like a lot of money. But then if you think about if this company was needing to come up with the creative from scratch, you know, have someone come up with the commercial, have someone produce the commercial, like making a commercial is extremely expensive, even crappy ones. You know, you've got 30, anywhere from like 20, 30 to 80 people involved in making a commercial. They're all getting paid a huge day rate. On the low end, you would be paying, you know, $80,000, $100,000, and you could be paying millions just to make the commercial, let alone the placement. So when a company is buying an integration with a YouTube channel, they're not just buying the reach, they're also buying the entire production of the commercial, you know? So like, it's cheap for someone like Drew Gooden or me to talk about Squarespace or something, but hey, that's content and that is a commercial and it is being watched.
That's interesting. I didn't actually think of it that way before in terms of like producing the commercial and things. I knew producing commercials was expensive, but I never thought of it that way. I just compared it to the ad rates to TV, because TV gets paid fuckload.
the extra piece to the equation is actually shooting the commercial,
which YouTubers do, and they arguably do it more effectively because their personality.
It's not something that if somebody makes it engaging, like Drew Gooden did a really funny Dollar Shave, I think it was this morning or yesterday. His Dollar Shave integration is hysterical. And no one's gonna skip it.
I haven't seen that one, but I did see the one where it was like a couple weeks ago. He did one with Dollar Shave Club, and it was like there was a skit in the beginning for it, and then there was like one at the end as well. That was
funny. This one's even funnier. Like it's just as good as some of his best vines. It's really funny. So that's absolutely worth its money. Anyway, when YouTubers start talking about things on YouTube, all they talk about is YouTube, you know?
Yeah,
we're doing it again.
It's like it is our life. It is our life. It's everything we do.
Just assume everybody wants to hear YouTube inside baseball.
Yeah, except that's not the case. I remember.
Like, you know how,
comedians
and cars getting coffee, when you get two comedians together, all they start talking about is how comedians are special and the process of a comedian creatively. You know what I mean? They're just like, they just start saying like, oh, see, that's what makes a comedian different from a normal person is we see something like this and we say this, and they both laugh and they're just jerking themselves off for being comedians. You know, like that's what YouTubers do on a podcast. We're like, we're not getting paid enough to talk about Dollar Shave. What an interesting podcast.
Yeah, by the way, we're not sponsored yet. I don't know if we ever will be, but we're not.
Hey, Dollar Shave, this was an integration. Yeah.
So, okay, I think we've had enough sponsor talk. Okay, Diesel, let's hear about the Spanish YouTuber who fed the homeless people toothpaste Oreos.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah, wow, big change in topic here. Wow. really great segue. Oh my god. All right, so this kid, essentially, to keep it short, sweet, and simple, thought he'd do a prank on the homeless, which I don't know why you'd do a prank on people like that, but he did a prank, air quotes, where he put toothpaste in Oreos and then fed it to them. Anyway, he could get 2 years in prison, which I honestly wouldn't have a problem with. That's really just fucked up. Or a $37,000 fine, which I also wouldn't have a problem with.
I was reading through the article, right? And apparently this isn't the first time he's done this. Apparently, like, he was giving some kids, like, fucking sandwiches full of cat poop.
Ugh. That
wow,
is,
that's absolutely
that's
disgusting.
That's way worse.
I went to this guy's channel and like fucking, he has 1.2 million subs. Like,
he made
how did that happen?
Video. He made an apology video. Didn't he make an apology video? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
So his channel's still up? Is it another one of these where YouTube's like, oh, what's going on?
His channel still's around, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Cold open.
It's like reset.
YouTube. Okay, we're jumping back into YouTube. You know what?
Okay, 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 boys. Calm down. Stay in your lane.
I was just saying his name.
We're just here to make fun of a kid.
I was literally saying his YouTube channel name.
No, don't just say kid, Diesel. A kid that feeds homeless people toothpaste or
yes,
cat feces.
He said on camera, and I quote, "I think he hasn't cleaned them since he became poor," right? Referring to their teeth.
That's what it was.
Help keep their teeth clean.
That's what it was. Okay.
That's the only funny part about this whole thing is that explanation, that excuse. Oh, it would help them clean their teeth. It's not funny. Obviously, fucking with the food of someone who's hungry isn't funny at all. In the same way, I didn't think it was funny when Burger, that Twitch streamer, went and lowballed the purchase of that coat that Andy Milonakis had given him.
Oh,
you guys
I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's
there's
not
like
name
the,
him. Don't
yeah,
name
let's
him.
Not name. When that dipshit stream sniped Andy Milonakis giving a homeless man a coat on a cold night, and he went over and he lowballed him, and he was like, just think about all the crack you can buy with this, and the guy took the money. That was, you know, when you are dealing with someone who is low on resources or hungry or cold, and you pick at those weaknesses, that's not funny at all, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's why everybody's outraged about
this. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I put
about.
Elmer's oh glue God. In a cream-filled donut when I was like 10 years old, and then I sat and I waited to see what would happen when somebody bit into it. I wasn't recording it, but I thought that was a super funny prank. This is not... I don't think it's that funny anymore. No, maybe it is funny. I don't know.
It's still kind of funny.
But it certainly wouldn't have been funny
if, you did that when you were 10?
If somebody... Yeah. But they wouldn't like you take the humor away when it's somebody who's actually like, you know, might be starving and they needed that.
Oh, yeah.
Food.
No, the homeless dude got sick like hours later and he was like throwing up and shit.
Oh, really?
That's fucking awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. That's a fucking asshole.
I mean, yeah, especially with the like that one's not even that bad compared to the cat feces one. That's fucking awful, awful. Why?
Yeah, that could kill you. You can't eat something filled with bacteria like that.
I hope he goes to prison for 2 years. Especially since his justification was, hey, I was going to clean his teeth.
How did he get 1.2 million subscribers? Like, what does he do?
I've
never
he
watched
does that. People like watching people in pain.
Yeah, but like, you don't just go do it to anybody. You do it to yourself. That's what people like.
Clearly,
if we're talking about precedent and YouTube, we're in such a weird time right now where basically the world has to keep trying all the worst ideas possible on YouTube to find out that it enrages the community or will get them in trouble before, you know, to make other people think twice about the next stupid fucking idea.
Everyone's trying to outworst each other.
We're finding the edges of what is okay to do. And every week there's a new person who just hit, you know, like, oh, I'm going to do a fake acid attack in London. Like, turns out that's not okay. And that'll cost you your channel. So everyone sees that. They're like, okay, so we can't do that. But what about feeding cat shit to people?
Wait, how the fuck has that guy lose his channel, but not this guy?
I hope it's in progress. I hope this guy, if he really fed people cat shit, I hope he loses his channel. That flew under my radar. I never heard about that. But there's also, every country has its own stars. It's something we kind of forget about. Like, there are people who are the Brazilian version of PewDiePie, and there's people who are like the Mexican version of PewDiePie, who are just like super famous and influential there.
This guy's like based in Barcelona, so like I can see him being like huge there.
Wait, oh, he deleted a bunch of videos.
Yeah, no, like there's barely anything on it.
He must have deleted all the edgy stuff, which is a lot of content saying that like his uploads go from 2 weeks, 2 months, 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. Holy shit.
Oh, the cat poop thing? It wasn't just to children. It was also to the elderly, according to this article.
Are you kidding?
Here, I'll fucking put the quote in the Discord.
I hope that dude gets more than 2 years.
And he gets a silver play button, a letter signed from Susan Wojcicki, like, congratulations, you've reached an enormous milestone. Like, they just...
Imagine a million. Fucking Christ.
Yeah, he did hit a million. Also, on the play button thing, why have they just like stopped sending the play button to anybody who's like slightly controversial? Because I've seen a bunch of people not get it.
It was delayed like, for me, and I thought I'd been black-holed, but they finally sent me a code 3 months later, and
I had to go to the live chat to request a code because it took them that long. I requested it
three times, and they finally sent me a code, but then it showed up in 5 days. I haven't opened it yet, but they sent it really fast.
Damn.
Yeah, where did the code show up? Like when you went there, like was it on your?
It
dashboard
still never did. I had to get it through email.
Yeah, I went to a live chat support and I'm like, hey, I need my code, and they're like, let me just check your channel real quick to make sure you're qualified. I'm like, okay, and then it's like, okay, I can't help you, I can't help you get the code here, but I can tell them to send you an email. So they did that. So
yeah, I want mine. I hope I didn't get blacklisted.
You probably didn't.
You're probably
fine. I've seen very few people get blacklisted. Okay. And then a couple of them were really confusing, and then a couple weren't confusing. But the ones who were confusing were really confusing.
Dankula
so
is
I
not
going
to get his, probably. He didn't get his.
Wait, who?
Count Dankula, who we were talking about earlier. The pug Nazi one. He didn't get his play button.
Oh, for sure. Oh. No. He didn't get his. Yeah. YouTube would not give that to him.
But Daddy of Five got his.
I wonder if a Fajita Thief would get a 100K plaque. Diesel, you want to talk about that?
You know, you really need to work on these segues.
That was
you
the smoothest really segue.
That was the best one aside from my intro.
The best one yet.
I mean, Fajita Thief. Jesus. Okay. God. So,
all of like the next topics are just like the most memey shit in the planet.
Yeah,
they're all shit
posts
because Diesel
couldn't
think of anything else.
Okay, no, I wanted to bring some, you know, comedy to the table. Because,
we
should have
mixed
them
in more.
We're supposed to be funny people or something. But yeah, so Fajita Theft, this is a very short article, but it's really funny. Where a guy who worked in a jail was stealing fajita meat. But it sounds a lot funnier if you just say that he stole fajitas, like everything that would be contained in a fajita. He's getting 50 years in prison for that.
What?
50 years
in prison. For stealing fajita
he
meat.
He stole $1.2 million worth of fajitas.
Oh, that makes more sense. $1.2 million.
Was he just delivering it to like the closest Mexican restaurant or something?
No, they were delivering it to the prison, and I guess he would like transfer it out of there himself.
What was he doing with it?
But he just took it?
I had to read like, a couple extra articles about this because they're a little thin on information in the one that you linked. Maybe because they don't want people doing the same scam. But so he worked at a juvenile detention center and he was ordering fajitas, and I guess he'd been ordering food and then taking the deliveries home somehow and reselling them to his own clients. So maybe to other local restaurants or a butcher, I don't know.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. He got caught.
So he'd been doing that over time and just using bigger and bigger shipments. And he only got caught because he called in sick that day and someone called the jail and was like, hey, we're dropping off your gigantic truckload of fajita fixings. And the person who filled in for him, I guess, was like, we don't even serve fajitas here.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
So then they looked through the records of what he'd been ordering, and it was like over $1 million worth of food he'd embezzled.
God.
And embezzled fajita booty.
How long did that go on? Like,
I don't know. All the articles on him are like one paragraph long. We'd have to really dig in to get more info.
Yeah, I guess. God.
I'll tell you what. I'm excited about this one. You probably were like, oh, Nerd City's going to talk about the algorithm and the MCNs. I want to talk about the Kim Jong toilet story. Okay, this is my favorite headline.
You're entirely correct with my assumptions, but
this is my favorite headline out of all of them. Yeah. So the headline I think is a little misleading. So Kim Jong isn't taking a toilet with him so much as he's taking his poops home. Okay, he doesn't want his poops collected and analyzed for information about how healthy he is. So you understand? So like. He won't
so you're
use it.
Me he's dying.
What?
You're telling me he's dying.
Oh yeah, I guess. Or they don't want. What would you find out about someone from analyzing their poop? I guess you could figure out like how
you
much
could
fat
figure out the
eating,
bacteria
how,
in their
whether
stomach.
Whether they have cancer? Like it, what does the stool samples tell you?
If you
bacteria easy
with someone's poop, you can tell what they're eating based off the bacteria and how much they have it, because it's like you have certain bacteria in your stomach that break down certain foods. So okay. If you had someone's poop, you could tell how much of what foods they're eating. There's actually been successful poop transplants to get fat people to eat healthy because they'd put like people who eat healthy, they'd put their poop in their stomach and the bacteria would go in their stomach and they'd have
wait,
people eating each other's shit in pill form right now in order to like populate their gut bacteria with better
bacteria so they'd eat healthier because it controls your cravings.
And that's the future I think of dieting, to be honest. We're gonna be eating each other's shit,
eating poop literal pills. Shit.
But okay, so
like
think about this from a
friend that are paid for poop pills.
When fucking rappers start like when they rap about eating pill or taking pills in the future, it's because they're gonna be on diets because they're all fat and they're eating shit.
Diet pills, diet poop pills.
Think about this from a logistical standpoint, though. So, if he's taking his poop home, how big of a suitcase? And is it a poop case?
A poop case.
Did you guys see the video of like the five guys running with his limo?
Yeah, it was like 12 guys, wasn't
was
it?
Was it? Oh, okay. I underestimated, but it was,
why
it was
were
a lot
the guys
of people
running with this. Explain.
Yeah.
This
okay. Yeah. So this is something he does at home too. Like it's not just on his trips abroad. He poops in his cars. So he's got these convoys, like you know Saddam Hussein, where he travels with like three or five different cars in a convoy, and you don't know which one he's in. The way if someone was trying to assassinate him or take him out with a missile or something, he's in one, but you don't know which one. One of those cars is his poop car. He poops in one of the cars.
What the hell?
You would think that like higher stakes than if you're trying to jump in his car and get him. You know, like you pick wrong. You jump in the poop car.
You jump in the car full of shit.
You just get in and it really stinks.
Imagine the guy who has to fucking drive.
Yeah, I'm gonna say imagine the driver.
Yeah. Your glorious leader like opens the door and you're like, God damn it. climbs in the limo, has a violent, loud shit, and then leaves. And you can't even clean it out because that's like a valuable state asset. You have your dear leader's poop, and you've got to continue to drive it around.
He's saving all the poop to make a clone. It all makes sense.
Did you see the picture of like somebody saying that Kim Jong Un's hair looked like Dr. Disrespect's mustache?
Yes, it was like a perfect fit. It was a perfect fit.
I'm fucking crying.
I mean, yeah. Kim Jong-un's poop's pretty funny.
No, all I can, it. Like, okay, so is it, like, just a regular, like, limo and he just goes in and takes, a shit in the leather seats and runs out?
It's
like,
gotta be as identical as the other cars, otherwise you'd be able to tell it apart, right?
So there's no like toilet in there, like,
or is he shitting
no,
on?
So he's just shitting
the
all over the interior of this car.
He shits in the seat, and there's a guy next to him with like a donk shit bag, and he just puts it in the bag.
What I think they throw it in the back.
I mean, he's not an animal. So what I'm picturing is he must have, you know, what
a toilet.
Like a little, like a baby has those little booster seat toilets, a training potty. He must have some kind of like little potty that he sits down on and poops in and
he
then closes
to,
it.
Yeah. I'm looking up.
I
want to
laugh, but it hurts because my
And then it's got like a lock on it.
This is all I can think of.
Like locks
this
up.
This is the all
poop.
I can think of.
No, each of like it's like a portable. That's his shit car.
That's his shit car.
I can't even put this in the video. I don't
Or uses one of these bad boys. It's like a fucking toy.
You're
it's
sending
like a,
these in chat. Okay.
Ah, yes.
Quite.
Now, Quite, you gotta elaborate on what these look like.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one, it's literally like a golf cart, but the seats are like fucking toilets and the backrests are like coolers. And the fucking railings along the sides are toilet paper holders, right? And then, like, the other one, it's like a training seat, like a booster seat you have a baby on, but it's a toilet, like what Nerd City was describing.
Yeah, this is probably exactly what it is, but add a lock.
Yeah, he just has a bunch in the limo, and it's like every time he shits, he just locks it. Doesn't reuse them. There's
something the whole CIA can't unlock.
Yeah. Fingerprints.
And then he's shipping it, and then he's taking it home with him. You know, like, can you get that through TSA? Are you allowed to take your poop? I guess you're kind of on a special flight if you're coming.
Well,
from
has he ever been anywhere foreign? But other
no,
than
they
South Korea?
They. I'm pretty sure they just did. They fly or they drive?
He drove there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he just drove there.
And no, I don't think he's been to any other.
But
foreign
that actually brings up an interesting question: could you take your poop through TSA? Like, would they allow you to bring like a bag of shit through TSA?
I feel like
it's
too
a biohazard,
much
right?
It's too much. Liquid.
You're right. It would. I mean, yeah, it's a biohazard. But like, what if it was in your suitcase?
They're gonna think it's a bomb.
Can you check it?
It's
yeah.
shampoo. It's
open,
really bad smelling
open
shampoo.
Your suitcase, and they're just gonna be like, well, "This is a bag of shit."
Can you take?
I'm dying.
You probably couldn't bring it in your carry on.
You could probably take it in your own diaper.
Yeah.
Oh my god! What if you wore an adult diaper? And then you shit in the diaper when you get past the TSA. And then they're like,
oh my god.
And it's like, now I got shit in the plane.
Oh my god. Now to throw it at the plane.
Now this search is going to, talking about targeted advertising, now I'm going to get
adult diapers
pre-roll ads. Because now I'm Googling, can you bring poop on an airplane?
God damn it. The answer is probably no. Let's be real.
I'm getting no information on this. It's just telling me.
You're probably the first person to ever look up. Can I bring my poop in an airplane?
Other than Kim Jong Il, I guess.
Oh my god.
I don't even want to talk about other stuff now. Deezle, you do it.
What I don't know how you could top that. Like
I don't either.
Why I don't know how you.
Hey, you
I thought it was really funny.
You're
I thought it was
fire.
Really funny when I read a pizza delivery man gets a 180k settlement after being crushed by 400 pounds of cheese. Like, you guys were talking about like the sponsors thing earlier, and I was like looking at that, and I was like, that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, the
I'm just imagining it in Diesel's voice going through his head like, that's funny, like that exact voice.
And then the other one's just a mom delivering her own kid after watching a tutorial, which isn't really breaking news. It's happened before.
God, I haven't eaten, and that pizza looks absolutely phenomenal.
My God.
You want to get crushed by 400 pounds of cheese?
A mother delivering her kid after watching a YouTube tutorial on how to deliver a baby is only funny to me if the tutorial was a how to basic video. Because I think I've learned how to like give birth to chickens and turkeys after watching those, so could apply.
The fucking way she described it though is like complete Black Twitter dialect. It was amazing. Well, thank you for watching this episode of Loudmouse. Thanks to Nerd City for coming on, and you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. New episodes every Tuesday and Saturday. See you next time. Bye.
See you next time. Okay. That was a very abrupt ending.
Bye.